Isten áldjon meg. God bless you. This is the traditional Transylvanian Unitarian greeting. We greet each other with this, God bless you. And it is also a tradition that in Transylvania, in every sermon, we read from the Bible. So today I will be doing the same reading from Luke. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Amen. Good morning, and thank you for having me here, inviting me. It is always different, and it is always special in different UU congregations. I'm here in Berkeley. I live in Berkeley with my family, my wife, Gyöngyike, my son, who is 4 years old, and my daughter, who is 2.5. And I have to tell you that in a family with 2 small kids, there is no room to get bored. Every time, every day, it's a new challenge. We face new things with the kids. And we are very happy having them. One of the purposes of me being here is to study at Starking, to widen my knowledge, and to visit UU congregations to know them better, to find out how do you live your religious lives, how do you organize your churches, what do you do outside of the church. And I also teach about Unitarians in Transylvania. The first thing I like to teach is that Transylvania is real. We don't have any vampires. Once I even had to prove that I am real. And I have an eternal life only by my soul. And I eat real food. So it was an interesting experience. So I teach about Unitarians in Transylvania. Today I won't be sharing history, but I will be sharing something that it is in our present, and as we are follower of Jesus, the prophet, the man, we try to live according to this, try to live in this thing that I will be preaching today about. One day my son Bence came to me. He was excited and said, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm a fireman." Good. I was happy because I thought that my son saw value in being a fireman. 5 minutes later, he came to me and said, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm a policeman." Good. I was happy because I thought that my son saw value in protecting people. 2 minutes later, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm a pilot." Good. He loves to fly, reach the limits, reach the beautiful sky. Of course, these were the thoughts of an adult, and these were only projections of mine to his dreams, his realities. This conversation with my son offered me two things. One is that I looked forward in the future and I hoped all the best things for my children. But I also found myself looking in the past to a child who had a lot of dreams. My imagination as a child was very wide, and I suppose all of our imaginations were wide. We as kids were able to imagine, to create our own reality. Our imagination made for us possible to be a fireman, a policeman, a teacher, a doctor, just anything. And I think it really feels good when you realize that you can be anything what you want to be. You just have to imagine, and there it is. It is your reality. And as the children grow, the wise adults work really hard to transform, to make these realities of the children, worlds created by imagination, closer to realities what adults experience. We, the adults, often break down the wings of the dreams and proclaim what probably is the most painful for a dreamer: your world doesn't exist. You can only live, be successful in a world where you can, what you can see with your eyes, what you can touch, what you can experience day by day. And in this world, there's no space to be whatever you want to be or to dream whatever you want to dream. Today, I would like to speak about a word which was present in my imagination as a child. And through time, the meaning of this word has transformed, but it still lives in me, in my imagination and in my reality too. Sometimes it exists parallel with my everyday struggles. Other times I feel that I really live in it. And sometimes it shows itself in an abundant mist. I want to live in it, but I don't know how to get closer to it. I'm talking about a world which has no physical boundaries. I'm talking about a world that Jesus was teaching about. It will come. It is here. You just have to believe in its reality. I'm talking about a word that Unitarians in Transylvania believe in it, live and want to live in it. The kingdom of God. As a child, I imagined this word to be as heaven, a word where I will step into when I will pass away. A word to be perfect, with perfect people in it. And everything just be shiny, peaceful, everything to be good. As an adult, I don't like to speak about heaven. I rather speak about the kingdom of God, which is not in a distant future, in an unknown future, but it can be here, in the present, in our realities and in our imagination too. The concept of the kingdom of God was for a long time, and it is for now too, in the center of my attention. And I asked myself a lot of questions about this kingdom. Is it possible to exist? Who is ruling? Who is the king in this kingdom? What is my purpose in this kingdom? As a citizen in this kingdom, what do I have to do? Who will tell me what to do? Will I figure out what is right and what is wrong? Who I have to follow in order to be a quality citizen of this kingdom? As a child of God, I can challenge what is written in the Bible because I'm free to seek for the kingdom, for this kingdom of God. Seek with the help of the Bible, with the help of you, with the help of nature, with the help of everything I experience and I imagine. Not long ago, I read a novel by Karel Čapek, one of the most influential writers of the 20th century Czech literature. By the way, he and his brother were the first ones to use the word robot. The title of the novel is The Absolute at Large, Továrna na absoluto, in the original Czech, literally translated as The Factory for the Absolute. This is a science fiction novel. The first sentence opens the story on New Year's Day in 1943 and describes a fundamental transformation in the society as the result of a new mystical source of virtually free energy. Here is the short plot of the story. An engineer, Mr. Marek, was working on the project of his life. To create a machine that works the most efficient way. A machine that can produce cheap energy. It is a hot topic today, producing cheap energy. Almost accidentally, this engineer invented a machine which could produce enough energy for his household and his small factory, enough for 1 year just from half a pound of coal, carbon. The carbon atoms were split into pure energy. He named his machine the reactor, and he thought that this was the biggest invention of the century. And indeed, it was the biggest invention. Unfortunately, it produced something else too as a byproduct, the absolute. If this invisible gas was inhaled, made people be very peaceful. In his house, the janitor's wife started to have visions. The janitor himself started to walk in the sky, took every opportunity to talk about the greatness of God. The engineer got really nervous about this. He got scared of his invention and he wanted to get rid of it, get rid of the reactor. And you know, as it happens, a man with a lot of money saw more money in this reactor and he thought that he could make more reactors and sell them to the whole world and make money. So he bought the reactor. With 2 pounds of carbon, they could provide energy for a whole city. As for the absolute, he thought that it will benefit the humankind to experience God. They started to make these reactors more and more. The trains run with them, the ships, the planes, the cars. Cities were supplied with reactors. Homes were heated by reactors. Factories worked with reactors. Everything became reactor dependent. Meanwhile, more and more absolute was liberated from millions of years of confinement and filled everybody. The street sweeper, the banker, the factory owner, the mayor, the president, they all became more and more religious. As I was reading this, I got filled with happiness. Great! This is what I wanted. This is what I'm seeking for. To see people be more religious, to see people helping more each other, to see people respecting their parents, helping their older fellow ones. Yes, this is what I wanted. No more wars, fights, endless fights on silly things. But as I read more, I became very unsure about my happiness. Everybody was filled with the absolute, but everybody wanted to own the absolute. Everybody thought that his or her experience was the absolute truth. Everybody thought that his or her knowledge was the absolute, about God. Needless to say that this ended up in a huge conflict and a war, and they destroyed all the reactors. This is the story in short. I believe that in a true kingdom of God, in a kingdom of God, but Jesus was preaching, teaching about everybody would be filled with this absolute. And everybody would be part of the absolute. Everybody would know his or her experience with the absolute, but everybody would appreciate the other one's experiences, connections with this absolute. Needless to say that this would result in a loving and caring community. Is this a far reality? Is this only possible in our imaginations? We could say yes, because as we look around, we can see that there are many, many bad things going on in this world. Some of the things we think that cannot be helped. We cannot do anything to make those things right. What is that we can do in order to make this absolute, this kingdom of God, to be a reality? The first thing is to want this kingdom to happen in reality. If it's just in a book written down, I believe, doesn't have any value. If it's in ourselves, it has value. But the greatest value this kingdom has if it doesn't have any boundaries. The boundaries meaning that I am not a boundary to happen, to prevent this kingdom to happen. You are not, and our fellow ones are not. We have to act, I believe, according to Jesus' teachings or according to other teachings. This is not the only way. The path of Jesus, I recognize this, that it is not the only way to fulfill this, to make this kingdom to be reality. And you can name anything you want this kingdom, but you will recognize it as you find peace, you find love and compassion, you find people that can walk with you, can hold your hands, can lead you, can go with you, can help you fulfilling your mission, can help you forming a vision. So I think that this kingdom can be a reality. It can be a Christian reality. It can be a non-Christian reality. It can be a Unitarian reality and can be a UU reality too. It doesn't matter what name we give to this kingdom. It just matters how we act, how we feel, how we love in this kingdom, in this reality. Amen.